evening. As I always say, I'm so thankful for everyone who chose to be here tonight, and thank you for Brother Logan for leading us in song, and the men who've led us in prayer. And again, as it's always mentioned, hopefully we can edify and encourage one another. I'm thankful for the elders and for the preacher Sam giving me this opportunity to come up here tonight and to preach on the Word of God. And hopefully the sermon tonight can be spiritually uplifting and enlightening. And before I always get into my sermons, I like to say that it is my responsibility to preach the truth, and that is the Word of the living God. And that if I am to make a mistake, to please bring it to my attention so that I may correct that error and I may be able to grow spiritually. So tonight's sermon has a special meaning to me. And that doesn't mean that the other sermons I've done, now I kind of feel like an old hand at this, being up here so many times. You know, Sam better watch out. I'm getting kind of comfortable up here. But it is because it has a close connection to me. And the reason this sermon tonight has a close connection to me is because I did not write it. Now you're probably thinking, how is that possible? How can someone present a sermon but not have wrote it? Well, that is because this sermon is dated June 4th, 1978, and it was written by my grandfather. And now I have an opportunity to come up here tonight and preach a lesson that he preached so long ago. Amen. And I know at times it may feel as if we're up here or we're talking to individuals about the Bible and maybe we don't think we're getting through to them. But the truth is, my grandfather and my grandma got it through to our family, and that is what we intend to do here tonight, amen, to spread that word. So now that I'm off of my soapbox here, tonight's sermon is entitled The Ifs of John. And our text will mainly take place in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, and chapter 2, 1 through 2. The word if is a word we often use. And because of it containing only two letters, we may think of it as a simple word, and it may be overlooked. But the word if in tonight's message will show us the power it has and the role it plays in our walk as Christians. If can be used in multiple ways. One being it is a conjunction, which means a word that is used to connect two sentences or two clauses together, such as the word and or but. If can also be used as a conditional clause. For example, we can go outside if it stops raining, or I will grow spiritually if I study my Bible. If is also a supposition, which means the act of supposing or of an uncertain belief. So let's keep those definitions in mind as we look to God's word in Scripture. And again, in 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 10, and 2, 1 through 2. And it reads, "And this is the message which we have heard from him and announce unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie, and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." And continuing on in chapter 2, we see that build up in chapter 1, the concluding verses of how sin affects our lives. And in chapter 2, we'll see an example how we have an avenue to escape that sin. So chapter 2, 1 through 2 reads, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with our Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." So as I had mentioned earlier, we would be looking into the ifs of John. And the first if we see is in chapter 1, verse 6, which says, "If we have fellowship, but yet walk in darkness." And in today's Bible class, Tom had mentioned this deception that's out there. And we see here that there is self-deception, that if we say we have fellowship, yet walk in darkness. And self-deception is defined as the act of doing nothing rather than doing something. Some phrases such as "I'm good" or "I have done enough" seem to be trigger words that show that self-deception, which then leads to apostasy or the act of falling away. But we know that not to be true in God's word and what he tells us to do. And we have an example of that in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 24. And Tom actually brought this up this morning, so I'm kind of piggybacking off of it. But it gives us an example of how we are to be workers for Christ. Not to be in self-deception or in darkness, but workers. Not to sit back and be stagnant, but engaged in everything we do. So again, James 1, 22 through 24 reads, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." We see that analogy of looking into a mirror and then turning away. And that physical example tells us spiritually how we are to act if we fall away from God in what he commands of us. So again, being doers of the word, which are found in the Bible, will lead us to a self-examination, to truly look at ourselves and think, are we doing enough as Christians on our walk to get to heaven? Are we encouraging others? Are we teaching others? Are we conducting ourselves in a manner that is pleasing? Or are we deceiving ourselves? 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 tells us that we must be prepared and keep those things in front of us, that it requires an action. And it reads, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in the spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And in Lamentations 3:40, we also see a self-examination in how we must live our lives and turn our lives to God, to not have that fellowship in darkness and deceive ourselves, but have that light shine. And it reads, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to Jehovah. Let us lift up our hearts with our hands unto the God in the heavens." We see that example that's given here, that to turn from our ways and to look towards God, to look towards his word, to study and try ourselves, to examine our hearts, and to please him. Amen. And in verse 7 in 1 John chapter 1, we see another if that says, "If we walk in the light." So we see here, this is a conditional sentence that tells us we must walk in the light in order to have fellowship. And with that fellowship is unity. And that unity is to be in Christ. For he is the light and is the truth. And his truth will show us the way. And we see that example of walking being a figure of speech which pertains into a manner of life that we are living. Again, conducting ourselves, our actions. What are we doing? Not a stagnant, not only hearers, but doers. And we have multiple examples of people who walked with God. Old Testament, New Testament. Some examples I have are in Genesis 5:22 and Genesis 6:9. And 5:22 says that Enoch walked with God for 300 years. And Genesis 6:9 says Noah was a righteous man, a blameless man in his time. Noah walked with God. But if we do not walk with God, we live in darkness. And Proverbs 14:12 shows us that it will ultimately lead to death. And it reads, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." How important a statement to have there. Because we, being men and women, are so easily entangled and ensnared in what's going on around us, that we sometimes forget how easy Christ is, how easy God's will is. We always want to make it about us, but that humility has to come in. And we must walk in that life, that light. Also, in the latter part of Revelation chapter 21, Sam had had his Wednesday Bible class on Revelations, and we looked into this, and we seen that no matter how dark it seems, how cold it may get, that Christ is victorious over all.
Amen.
And in that latter part of Revelation chapter 21, it tells us that God has illuminated the way to heaven, and it can be found in Scripture and through his Son. Now that's paraphrasing that end chapter, but it's so easy to see that it's evident in the beauty of his Scripture that he has always had a plan for us to gain a closeness with him. He's always been there for us. It's up to us to get close to him. And we cannot do that alone, as why we need his Son. For he is the light, and his light is the truth. And in John chapter 12, 46, Christ gives us that truth. As Christ says, "I have come as the light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness." So we must remain in the light and continually walk with God in order to have salvation. That truth is evident in everything we read in the Bible. That we must have that closeness with God and walk in that light. Not in the deception, not in the world, but in God and in Christ.
Amen.
Verse 8 says, "If we say that we have no sin." So in order to understand what's being said here, we must first understand what sin is and why it is so deceiving. 1 John chapter 3, 4 through 6 gives us a wonderful example of how horrible sin is and what it means. 1 John chapter 3, 4 through 6 reads, "Everyone that doeth sin doeth also lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And ye know that he was manifested to take away sins, and in him is no sin." Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. That's how powerful sin is. That's how horrible sin is. That cruelty of that imprisonment, that life of sin, separates us. Which was mentioned earlier, that God wants a close relationship with us. He wants that closeness, that fellowship, that unity, that togetherness. So we see here that first sin is what separates us from Christ, because in him is no sin. And in Genesis chapter 3, verses 12 through 13, we see our very selves in this example that's given of Adam and Eve and the serpent, that deception, how sin entered into this world. And how God knows our very hearts, and that we cannot hide those sins from him. In Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 12, it reads, "And the man said, the woman who thou hast given us to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And Jehovah God said unto the woman, what hast thou done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me." Deceived. That deception that has always been around. And we know that we are not without sin. Romans chapter 3, 23 states that very bluntly, and it says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But as verse 7 in chapter 1 of 1 John, it states that we are to walk in the light, which is Christ. And with that, we will overcome and receive his fellowship. And Paul reiterates that similar statement in 1 Timothy 1:15 and says that it is Christ that came into this world to save sinners. Well, just a few verses down in verse 19, he charged Timothy to hold to the faith and having a good conscience. We must have action and not become stagnant. To make changes in our own lives, that not only to help ourselves to grow, but our family, our friends, our community, that action that is involved in spreading God's word and understanding the truth. You know, this time up at work, and I happened to see an individual reading King James Bible, and we talked about it for a little while. We talked about salvation and baptism, and he came from a denominational belief and said, well, baptism is a work. But Scripture tells us that baptism is an act of obedience. The work is done by God, not by us. We brought nothing to the table. God has given us everything that we need through his Son. And through his teaching. And what it tells us to do to be saved. And it is on our bulletin that we see those examples that we have in what to do. But at the end, it always says to walk in a newness of life. To repent. To not continue as the old flesh, but to walk in the newness of life. So again, we must emphasize the truth which is found in Scripture. That if we say that we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves. And in verse 9 in 1 John, it gives us what we must do if we do sin and is part of following the gospel. And it says, but if we confess our sins... And action is to take place if we want to receive the purification from Christ. We must begin to set aside our prideful ways and fixate our eyes on Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, tells us what Christ means to us and what we have when we look and fixate our eyes on Christ. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 reads, "Therefore, let us also, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." For consider him that hath endured such gainsaying of sinners against himself, that ye wax not weary, fainting in your souls. That is what Christ did for us, for all of us, so that we may have salvation and we have that ability to come to him, that closeness that I've been repeating over and over. Because the importance of that is evident every time we look in Scripture. And I think of that word, confessing your sins. And I think of my children in a time when they know that they've done something wrong. And you can see it in their eyes, that humility. They know when they've done something wrong. You see it in their eyes. They almost start to glisten or glaze over because they know they've done wrong. Do we as Christians have that same humility? Do we feel that same way when we do wrong, when we sin? Or is it, well, you know, I know Jesus and I know what I'm supposed to do, so forgive me of my sins? Or is it deeper than that? Are we lifting our hands to God and praying for humility and forgiveness and confessing our sins? It should not be any different than when our children feel that disappointment than when we have committed transgressions towards Christ. Verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, and it's the Apostle John reiterates a similar thought in that we are not sinless. And again, as previously mentioned in the sermon in Romans chapter 3, 23, Paul states that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But again, we have an advocate, Christ, who has provided for us an avenue to God through obedience. We also see that if we say we are sinless, we make God a liar and his word is not in us. Let's get one thing clear, and that is that we know that God is not a liar and his word is the truth. Examples given throughout Scripture you can find in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 and Hebrews 6 and 18. But the verse that I picked out and will be reading is Numbers 23:19. I think it's always good to get a little Old Testament action when you're up here preaching because it brings that physical power, an example that we see. And Numbers chapter 23 verse 19 reads, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, or will he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and will not make it good. What a beautiful insight into God and what He represents and how much higher He is. It puts us back into a humbling spot because we often think that, you know, well, especially me being a young guy walking around, I went and played basketball the other day with Tom, and I think his back's still a little sore from it, but I'm up here, you know, ready to go, recharge. But it is a humiliating aspect of putting God in a higher place than us. We must know that to be true. For those who continue to walk as liars will have their part. And that place can be found in Revelations 21 and verse 8. And this place is not a place of happiness. It is not a place that is close to God. But it says in Revelations chapter 21 and verse 8, but for the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All these acts of unrighteousness will have their place. And that place, as was mentioned earlier, is a place of sadness, a place of despair, a place of fire. But as Sam mentioned so many times, the scariest thing of all is a place of separation from God. So as was talked about in the beginning of this sermon, that word if might not seem so simple now. That word if having conditions. That word if being powerful for a Christian walk. That if we choose to walk towards the life, towards the light, we know what we have in Christ and God and salvation and heaven. But if we walk in darkness, we see what else we have waiting for us. So in 1 John chapter 1, we see how horrible sin is. And the darkness that fills our heart if we sin and allow it to rule our lives. But in chapter 2, we see the beauty of Christ and of God's plan, and what it means to us. We see how horrible and disgusting sin looks. And then he comes back in chapter 2 and tells us how we can stop that. For he says, if any man sins, and tells us that we have an advocate, Jesus Christ. That Christ gave himself his life so that we may have eternal life through him. So many worldly doctrines neglect that truth. That Philippians 4:13, that stands right there, that says, I can do all things through him, through Christ, who strengtheneth me, who gives us the power and the ability to get to heaven through him. All things that are holy, all things that are reverent, all things which strengtheneth me. And Christ came into this world to save it. Matthew 1:21 tells us that. It was prophesied about in the Old Testament. It was prophesied before he was even born. And it says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For it is he that shall save his people from their sins. How beautiful a statement there. It is our responsibility as members of His church to spread that message. As Mark chapter 16, 15 through 16, another part of the gospel reads, "And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that disbelieveth shall be condemned." Christ defeating death gave us an avenue to heaven, a blessing that none of us are worthy of. But as is found in John chapter 10, verses 10 through 11, it reminds us that Christ came to give his life, to give his word, and to give his salvation. And in John chapter 10, verses 10 through 11 reads, "The thief cometh not, but that he may steal and kill and destroy. I come that thou may have life, and may have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep." So we conclude with this thought. We have read in our text, and we see how important a word like "if" can mean. That we must continue to walk in the light if we want to receive heaven. So let us examine ourselves daily and continue to search the scriptures and to grow in knowledge with a readiness of mind, with an action, with a prayerful attitude. To be the example as we go throughout this week and encourage those, whether it's people at work, at school, or in our own homes, we must let our light shine. So think about these things. And if there is anyone who is struggling with obeying the gospel and has already been baptized into Christ and added to his church, please come forward and confess your sins. For we know what that confession brings. And we know what the prayers of the fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth. It availeth much.
Amen.
For the prayers from the congregation are powerful. And God knows our hearts and our minds far better than we do. But if there is anyone who has not yet decided to be buried in that watery grave and is above the age of accountability, there is no better time than tonight. For you have heard the truth. And now it is up to you to make that lifelong commitment and follow Christ and walk in his light and not in the world. So if there's anyone who needs to come forward, please do so as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.